In one of the oldest writings known to man, a godly man that the Lord called perfect and upright, that loved God and eschewed evil, he said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another." And then hundreds or thousands of years later, our blessed Savior, according to John chapter 11, verse 25 and 6, said, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." This day is a day of celebration because we come to celebrate the life of a saint of God. Sister Lavina E. Gibson, age 94, passed away on September the 19th, 2010, at 11:45 a.m. in the Lagodi Nursing Center. Sister Lavina was born December the 19th, 1915, near Leora, Missouri. She was the daughter of Ernest and Virgie Finn. On October the 1st, 1937, she was united in marriage to Victor Gibson. To this union, seven children were born: Reverend Keith Gibson of Shoals, Russell Gibson of Wichita, Kansas, Marjorie Scannell, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, Judith Gillerman of Colorado Springs, Colorado, Mary Jackson of Coweta, Oklahoma, and Joel Gibson of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Survivors also include six of her children, 13 grandchildren, 21 great-grandchildren, and one great-great-granddaughter. She was preceded in death by her parents, her husband of 52 years, and an infant daughter, Rebecca Lynn. Sister Lavina was a faithful helpmeet to her minister husband, and she loved ministering to others, and for the past 16 years made her home with her son Keith and his wife Naoma here of the Shoals area. Thank you.
I get to read this morning from a passage of Scripture that may have been Grandma Gibson's favorite passage of Scripture. The 91st Psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
I might say this morning that this is a real blessing and a privilege for me to have a part in this service today. The Gibsons have meant so much to wife and I throughout the years. Lavina, with her wit and wisdom, I count it a real blessing in my life to have become acquainted with them. I've met a lot of good people since I've been a Christian, walking with the Lord, and Lavina Gibson is one of them. And her memory shall constantly and forever, my lifetime, shall remain, as well as with my wife. Thank you so much for allowing me to have a part in this service for one that has served her Lord so loyally and faithfully down through the years. I can remember, and my son has reminded me several times about Lavina. In fact, it was just about 3 weeks ago that we visited with her in the nursing home. And she was still... She had her wit with her, and she was, she broke out. Paul asked her, said, Lavina, how old are you? And she said, old enough to know better. Camp meeting years ago, in our early days, they were at Ileana camp meeting, and Paul again approached Mother Gibson, Lavina, and said, what are we having for dinner? And she bent down to his ear and said, can you keep a secret? And he said, I think I can. She said, so can I. There's so many things that marks the life of Lavina Gibson.
Rollin Mitchell just closed a revival at our son's church in Palestine. And Rollin mentioned to me, he said, I'd like to be at that service, but I can't. Had to go on to another revival meeting. But he said, I've got one of her books. And he's not the only one that's got one of her books. And she has autographed that book. He said, it means so much to me. Well, I think that's repeated time and time and time again in the hearts and lives of many individuals that were acquainted with Lavina Gibson. It was my privilege to have a part in the service of her husband, Victor, and I shall never forget the remarks that Victor made to the doctor. When the doctor bore him, said, how do you bear bad news? And Victor looked at that doctor and said something like this, doctor, going to heaven isn't all that bad. And that's true this morning. If you live the right life, the perfect right life, the life in Christ, going to heaven is what you're living for. Amen. And sometimes our way out of this, I tell people that I'll see them, and I'm a winner either way, whether it's by the hospital and by the morgue, or whether it's by the rapture to take place. But it pays to serve Jesus. And if Lavina could be here this morning, she would say, Brother Gray, that's right. That's right. When I thought about Sister Gibson, I thought about Proverbs 31 and beginning at verse 10. Now don't worry, I'm not going to preach. But go home and read that. A virtuous woman. Lavina, I counted her in the involvement of that part of that chapter, Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10, speaks well in the heart and life and influence of Lavina Gibson. God bless her memory. And you're being here today. You're here because Lavina and the Gibson family has touched your lives. She's in a better place this morning. She's in heaven. She run the race. She crossed the finish line. He said, well done. Enter in into the joys of thy Lord. And what she is beholding today, she would say to each one of us, come on, it's worth it. It's worth it. The battles, the strife, the conflict, it's worth it. And I would say to you, it's worth it. What joy it will be, and the sounds of heaven, to me, is growing sweeter all the time. My wife Shirley would love to be here this morning, but not able, but she's thinking about this service along with others. Bow your heart and your head as we spend a moment in prayer. Precious, loving Heavenly Father, we're indeed grateful and thankful this morning for Calvary. We're glad for the blood, dear Jesus, that you willingly shed on Calvary. For that day, it wasn't the soldiers that pierced your side and brought forth water and blood, but there was that day in the house of David a fountain open for whosoever will. And we're glad and thankful today that Lavina entered into that fountain. She's lived the life loyally, faithfully. And Lord, she's loved you to the end. And you have already welcomed Lavina home. Bless this family this morning. Bless this host of friends that are here. Bless, we pray today, that in our hearts and minds, we will realize one of these days, if it's in your providence and will, we too shall cross that river. And this is only the preparation place. Lord, you've been good to us. You've allowed Lavina, the Gibsons' influence. We thank you for Naomi and Keith that have opened their arms and their hearts and their love. And some of these other children that are here this morning, and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, wrap your arms around them. There's a vacancy there. There's tears that'll be shed. There'll be an emptiness in the home and in the lives. But Lord, she's marked a path that each one of us can follow and still reap the same reward if we're faithful. Bless, we pray, this family. Bless this service to every heart. Help each one of us, Lord, that we might purpose within our hearts today, I will, I am, I'm going to serve Christ and give Him our very best while we're here, that we might hear these say, well done, enter now into the joys of thy Lord. It'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it all. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing my life with the life of the Gibson family and Victor and Lavina. We pray that their memories shall be that force behind that will help us to plod on, run faithfully, and one of these days we too shall join them on the other side. We commit this service, blessing the furtherance of it, into thy keeping and into thy hands, and accomplish even today that needs to be and should be, with a determination we're going to serve Christ until we lay our armor down and cross the finish line. In the name of Jesus do we ask it and praise thee. Amen and amen.
Face tomorrow.
Brother Gray. You know, it's a wonderful thing, the older that we get, to be able to find people that we've not been disappointed in, that have lived consistently, have honored God, and have showed younger folks an example. I'm glad you can have old-time religion. Amen. And to be joyful and have a sense of humor. Yeah. As has been mentioned. When I think of Sister Levine, I think of Brother Gibson, on whether it was council meetings or at times he would contemplate or weigh a question, you know. And sometimes there was tremendous wisdom that came, and sometimes there was a comment that made everybody laugh. I remember in a camp meeting service, and Brother Keith reminded me of this, and I've thought about it different times and laughed. But at a camp meeting service one time, we had a trio, I believe, of ladies that have beautiful voices. I mean, cultured voices. The more kind of the operatic type. And they registered way up there on the scale. Beautiful. But anyway, after the service was over, some comment was made about those lovely girls and their singing. And I can still see Brother Gibson as he had a twinkle in his eye and he kind of contemplated for a moment. He said, you know, they did well. But he said they were about 3 cuts above my appreciation level. I had never heard it said after that fashion. But he painted a picture. I didn't have to guess at what he meant. But you know, Brother and Sister Gibson both, you weren't around them very long until there was that wonderful sense of humor. And it is important what we say. But you know, it's very important as to what we do and how we do it. And these folks set a wonderful example. When I first got the news that Sister Lavina had passed on to be with the Lord, there was instantly a verse within 10 seconds that came to my mind. And it's found in Psalm 116 and verse 15. Most of our preacher friends could quote it, but I want to just use it as a springboard for some discussion here for just a few minutes. He said, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." And you know, as you weigh that and you think about it, there's more to that than simply meets the eye. There's 3 thoughts that, as I looked at this, that came to my mind. And one is to define or look at the word precious, and what does it mean? Secondly, is the preciousness because of God's divine investment in the soul of man. And then third, precious as He plucks us, as He thinks enough of us to pluck us from the jaws of death by the Spirit of the resurrection, the power of the Holy Spirit. And let me go back and just look at that first point for a minute. I think of the word precious, you know, we live in a day when the dollar is in question, and I've heard a lot of talk about precious metal, people making investments in something that's not paper, precious metal. There's a reason why they call gold precious. One of the reasons is that it's rare. You can't just find it in every creek bottom down here in Martin County. It's difficult to find. It's rare. And Brother Gray, just about, I thought he was going to quote my a scripture that's real important about this time. Over in Proverbs chapter 31, the writer, he gives us a definition and defines the precious woman, rare, of rare beauty. And this is what I think of when I think of the relationship that Sister Gibson had to Brother Gibson and the way that she lived her life. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Amen. Precious, if you will. The heart of her husband, oh, this is so vital today, doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. He can trust her with his love and his heart behind his back. Praise God. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And then in the 20th verse, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he setteth among the elders of the land. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Praise God. I say again, precious as precious metal, gold, if you will. Gold is rare. And then gold is durable. Durable. She had a love for God that didn't just pass when temptations and trials and difficulties came. But over the years, served God with loyalty and with purpose and with her heart in every way she could. She glorified God. She had a durable love for God. And then real gold is pliable. It is pliable. It's known for its pliability. After the hammering, if you will, to crush out the rock in which a lot of gold is embedded, there's the crushing process and the hammering process. And it's made, it comes to a point to where it can be worked and stretched and made pliable and made into all kinds of things according to the craftsman's will or desire. And she was that way. In the hands of the master, was pliable to do his will and determined to find and mind the will of God. Praise the Lord. And then precious as in the sense of being purified by fire. You know, the devil will see to it that everybody that professes to love the Lord is brought through some kind of fiery trial and temptation. Life is that way. There will be sometimes in one's life a life altering fire that you cannot, you can't do anything about. Now, I remember one time in a real trying situation that I believe was a trial of my life. As I laid on my face before God, I heard after the Lord, first of all, learned he was a patient and loving God, and he just let me and encouraged me to go ahead and have my pity party. I mean, I was telling him how bad it was, and I just poured my heart out, and he encouraged me. And then when I got through with that and I waited before the Lord, it seemed that he whispered to me, he said, "Now, I just want to ask you one question. What about my son?" And then I thought about how Jesus, who was blameless and perfect and the greatest gift that God could give humanity, the Son of God, and yet look what they did to him. The very first sermon he preached down there in the little synagogue, they interrupted it and finally threw him out of the place and marched him out to the edge. You know, and they would have thrown him over the cliff. And I got to think, well, Lord, I haven't had that to happen yet. look, consider my son. And then they nailed him on a cruel Roman cross. And he was guiltless. Those wonderful hands. They did nothing but good. Heal the sick and raise the dead and calm the troubled waters of many a soul. And yet, he went through the fire and he went through the furnace of affliction. I remember Brother J. Wesley Adcock in our classes at Old Franklin back years ago. He oft-times quoted Psalm 66 in verse 12. "Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthier place." Praise God. It happens in life, and it happens in death. Praise God, a wealthier place. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then there's this matter of precious because of the investment of divinity. You know, in creation, God, when he made humanity, when he made the man, he wanted to have something. I mean, he spoke into existence angels of God that would bow before him and praise him all into eternity. Holy, holy, holy is their message and song. And yet he wanted to make an independent being that had a mind and an intellect to think and had a will to put behind their thinking. And every in the creation him, the Lord, the Creator, our God, stepped back and he declared at the end of each day that this is good. He declared the goodness. He was pleased. He was satisfied. And then, of course, there came that crowning time when he took perhaps 150 pounds of clay, shaped it, molded it, and fashioned it after his own precious will, and looked upon what he had done, and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Here was life. then man became a living soul, different than all every bit of his creation, and imparting in him the ability to choose between right and wrong. Now, it meant enough to God to have a being that would exercise his will to serve him because he wanted to, that he chose to take the chance to put man in a place where he had a free moral agency or the power to choose. I thank God for the Lord and the way that he influences us to make the right choices and to choose to serve him in life, and also the power of choice. And then, secondly, there was the plan and purpose of God the Father. Even before the foundation of the world was laid, and God was contemplating creation and setting the whole thing up, there came that thought, if man would fall by choice, if he would go back upon the will of his Creator, what can we do? Well, how do we redeem him? And Jesus, the Son of God, said, Father, if that you need to, I will go. I will go. In his humanity, in the garden, he said, Father, I would that this cup would pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. The greatest gift, praise God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then I thank God not only for the planning and purpose of the Father and the gift of his Son, but I thank God for the blessed Holy Spirit. Sometimes when we were so far away from God, and ugly in our attitude and our disposition, enough to make God angry and bring judgment down upon our heads. Yet, as he visited, I know in my own case, I'd come from revival meeting, having rejected light, rejected God, or lived in a good home. There was night after night that the Lord would come calling in that little farmhouse when I turned the lights out, and he would deal with me of sin and righteousness and judgment. And under conviction, I said, please, Lord, don't let my heart stop beating. I don't want to miss it. And here was the Holy Spirit. I learned later it was God's faithfulness to the Spirit. And I thank God for him calling my name one night in a revival meeting and letting me know it's now or never, and gave me sense enough to make a choice, to make a right turn at the aisle, and I've been turning right ever since. Praise God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, not just in our salvation, and in the fiery cleansing and baptism of the Holy Spirit, but God's leadership through providence and through our lives, even that brings us here today. Thank God for the blessed Holy Spirit. Somebody that deals with gold, speaking of gold a few minutes ago, said that the gold really wasn't ready and really purified until you could see the reflection of the craftsman in the gold. In other words, the fire, they said, got in the metal and purified, and the impurities dropped out. And that's what happens as we walk with God, as we're saved and then sanctified, filled with the blessed Holy Spirit. He continues to work on us. You know, we're not a finished product until we say Jesus for the last time or breathe that last breath. God's working on us, but he's polishing up the gold. Praise God. We presented as gold. And then, of course, there's the harvest, hallelujahs. And what I mean by that, as I was thinking about this, my mind went over to Luke chapter 15. Jesus in that chapter gives three illustrations. One is the 90 and 9. The 90 and 9, he talks about the shepherd that had 100 sheep. And he's out in the wilderness now with them, and he's got them out there feeding them through the day. And all of a sudden realizes that one of them is gone. He doesn't bring the 99 back to the safety of the fold. He left them right there where they were and went back because he did not want to go too far. He wanted to find out that one sheep. And then Jesus said that, behold, there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that is brought back more than 99 that need no salvation, as it were, already in the fold. And now, and the second thing, he talked about the little woman that had 10 pieces of silver, probably meant the difference between starving or surviving. And lo and behold, somehow, one of them got away. She counted again in disbelief that she only had 9. And no doubt she'd already told her neighbors, "Oh my goodness, I've lost one of these pieces of silver. And it was valuable. It was precious." She'd lost it. And she actually lit a candle. She swept the house. And finally, when she found it, she went outside and shouted to her neighbors, "Hey, come and rejoice with me, for I have found that which is lost." And they rejoiced with her. It was time to praise God. She had to, the hallelujahs going about. And then Jesus said again, he said, "Behold, there's more rejoicing over one sinner that gets in, gets right with God, in heaven or in the face of the angels." You know, I got to thinking about that. I do believe every word of that is true. I believe there's joy in heaven, just like he said. Well, you know, how does that happen? I mean, here a fellow, I think about a fellow that was back with us last night, old Rockwell, 27 years wandered away from God. And he found God at an old-fashioned altar in a camp meeting a few weeks ago. I mean, right then, did they just have a little hesitation in heaven and say, "Can I have your attention, please? Rod Moore just prayed through. Hallelujah!" And at least there's a whole bunch of people around Petersburg and some places that are already in heaven. I'll guarantee you, Brother Theroff was raised his head. Praise God, I'm looking for him. I'm going to watch that Eastern Gate. And I believe, as surely as that's true, I believe when Brother Victor Gibson made it home to heaven, there were some of those fellows that he'd met with in camp meetings and in the ministry and laymen that he'd preached to, and those that had already made it home to heaven, when they heard his name announced as he swept through the Eastern Gate, there were some that came to shake his hand and say, "Welcome home." And then I thought about dear Sister Lavina when she breathed her last little gasp of breath. I believe it went in my heart that Brother Victor Gibson was watching the gate. And when she stepped through in portals of glory, I can see that twinkle in his eye. And he says, "Well, first of all, we get to see the Son of God." Amen. There he is. And I believe that somewhere along that line, you know, I've been privileged to be in different parts of the world in the name of Jesus for the cause of God. And I'm not a camera bug. I mean, oh, we've got a few pictures, but I don't, you know, go to see it on that stuff. Some things are more important than others. Probably the trip to Jerusalem a few years ago was probably the greatest thing, to walk where Jesus had walked and to see the Bible come alive. I'm going to tell you, one of the trips that I look forward to making after seeing the Son of God visiting with him, I want to look at that mercy seat. I want to see where the blood was sprinkled. Because that blood brought me my salvation. Praise God forever. I think that'll be one of the highlights. Right here is where it is. One day when the Son of God, when they said, when he said, "It is finished," and they put him in the grave. And when they rolled that stone in place and the lights went out on the inside, another great light came out on the other side of that stone. Jesus got up, praise God, and overcame death and hell and the grave. Rolled the stone, and went down to the Gehenna, down into the jaws of hell. And as he approached the gate swung open. And the King of Glory, praise God, came sweeping in and demanded of old Satan, "Give me the keys." And he had to give them up. I know something happened like that because over in Revelation, John said, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead." And then he talked about how he was girded about the baptism with a golden girdle. His hair was white like wool, white as snow. But he said he had the keys to death and hell. That's on his key ring. Somewhere he got them. But nevertheless, praise God. And the victor, you know, when he came, and the woman, Mary, out of whom he cast seven devils, came down there to the graveyard. And here she was weeping at that empty grave. And finally she heard the scuffing of sandaled feet. And she said, "Why didn't you tell us what you did with him? We would have given him a proper burial and embalming. What'd you do?" But all of a sudden, her world came alive with holy fireworks when he said, "Mary." She'd heard that voice before. She looked up in the tears, and she would have grabbed his ankle. tell the disciples, meet me in Cana of Galilee. T.M. Anderson said he took off like a shooting star in reverse. Out of that garden, out across the regions of space where the old space Hubble's never seen, and somewhere into the great, Uncle Buddy called it God's Central Administrative Complex. Somewhere there, angels meeting him along the gateway. The gates of glory are open. He comes sweeping in and stands before God. And there he took on himself the role of high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Had no beginning of days or ending of days. And there, when there was no other sacrifice perfect enough, he offered his own blood on the mercy seat of heaven to secure our salvation once and for all. Hallelujah! Thank God for the hallelujahs of harvest. And then precious as he plucks us from the very jaws of death itself. Oh, thank God. When we were just well nigh, when our foot was slipping. Thank God he slipped down and got our attention and he loved us. Praise God. And he brought us in. I bless his wonderful name. And I think of the victor's shout at this point. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54, Paul was reveling in what Jesus Christ could do for the human race and for every soul. And he cried out, "Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory." I love that word. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, beloved, brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Yeah. Praise God for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise God. God keeps a record. And we're sending one up today. If you don't know the grace of God, if you are not a saved individual today, consider the God and the salvation that Brother and Sister Gibson experienced. Amen. Consider heaven and the place that's prepared for you and me. That in fact, Jesus said, "Father, I will that they be with me. Those that thou hast given me, I want to be with me forever." Praise God. You can make your calling and election joy. Our gracious Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to know whom we have believed and are persuaded that He is able to keep that which we've committed unto Him against that day. Thank you for these people that are here today. I pray, God, for the family, that thou, Lord, would put your hand upon them especially. You touch them in their grief and touch them in their sorrow. And yet, in the midst of all that, Lord, there's the seed of happiness and joy and everlasting life at the thought that these folks have, as Mom and Dad, have already made the landing. And if they look back this way, they're looking back to watch their children make it to heaven. And I pray that their prayers would be answered. And that everyone here and also the family, Lord, that there'd be a great circle that would not be broken when they stand in the presence of Almighty God. Put your hand upon each one of us today and be with us, Lord. And as the folks will be traveling back out there to the graveside in Oklahoma, put your hand upon that service too and protect and surround with the angels of God all that are involved. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name.